As it wound down its session, the U.S. Supreme Court came through with a variety of rather monumental rulings, a couple regarding the financial information connected to President Trump, which don't count on seeing anything from those rulings anytime soon. And as I like to say, the Trump campaign will no doubt do everything they can to run out the clock to make sure nobody gets anything before Election Day. And speaking of Election Day, another one of the rulings regarded the Electoral College. This past Monday, the Supreme Court ruled that states can punish presidential electors who break their pledge to support the presidential candidate preferred by the citizens of their respective states. Just as a very brief overview about what the Electoral College is all about, it technically is a balance of popular sovereignty with the benefits of a federal system, which state governments wind up playing a rather important role. Every 4 years, Americans cast votes for their preferred presidential candidates, they believe. But what voters in 48 states are actually selecting is a slate of electors who have pledged to vote as members of the Electoral College for the candidate who wins a majority of their state's popular vote. Maine and Nebraska have a slightly more complex allocation system based on the winner of the popular vote and congressional districts, but that's neither here or there at this point. Well, we all vote in November. The electors meet in state capitals in December to actually cast their votes. Number of Electoral College votes to which each state is entitled is the total of their two U.S. senators and the number of members they have in the House of Representatives. That balances the interests of the larger states and larger populations and the smaller, often more rural states with smaller populations so that presidential candidates won't ignore the smaller states and campaign only in the large urban population states. If you want to see more details about the Electoral College in the U.S. Constitution, the foundation is Article 2, Section 1, and then there are a couple of amendments that are applicable, mainly addressing the position of Vice President. That's the 12th and the 20th Amendments. But what happens when one of those electors goes rogue? Just say, for example, an elector pledged to vote for Candidate A, who wins a state vote, but breaks their promise, instead votes for Candidate B, or maybe even some other person who wasn't even on the ballot. Can the state remove that? The term is faithless elector. Can it punish or at least fine that rogue elector? This ruling this past week, the Supreme Court said yes to both counts. And this isn't a hypothetical, by the way. 2016, three electors from the state of Washington pledged to vote for Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, hoping to throw the election into the House of Representatives, which happens if no candidate receives a majority of the Electoral College votes, currently 270, which you probably know that. The three cast their votes for Colin Powell, even though Clinton carried the states. Washington fined them each $1,000, according to their state law. Those electors sued in state court, arguing the fines violated the Constitution and the right to exercise a different choice in casting their vote. But the Washington Supreme Court upheld the law as well as the fine. Same thing in Colorado. Three electors pledged to cast their Electoral College votes for Clinton in 2016. Announced they would instead cast their votes for former Ohio Governor John Kasich. That's what they said. Only one actually did so, because after he voted for Kasich, the Colorado Secretary of State immediately removed him from that position. No, the elector, not Kasich. Canceled the vote and replaced him with a different elector who voted for Clinton. Two other electors saw this and took the hint, cast the votes for Clinton too, instead of doing what they threatened to do by casting their votes for John Kasich. All three electors sued in federal court, and the 10th U.S. Circuit Court found that Colorado had violated the Constitution by removing the elector who had actually voted for Kasich and nullifying his vote. These faithless elector votes in Colorado, Washington were both part of a effort in 2016 to convince electors to break their pledge in order to throw the election into the House. Only seven electors across the country cast those rogue votes, most in a century, but far short from the goal that the mission had in mind. Now, why did the U.S. Supreme Court decide that the Washington state Supreme Court was right and the Tenth Circuit was wrong. Well, here's a radical idea. They looked to the text of the Constitution, which says that states can appoint electors, quote, in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct. Eight of the justices agreed that Article II's appointment power gives the states far-reaching authority over presidential electors, absent some other constitutional constraint, meaning that as a condition of appointment, a state can demand that an elector actually live up to their pledge on pain of penalty. That doesn't mean going on the rack, it means a fine. So you can calm down there. Justice Lena Kagan, writing for the 8 majority, noted that nothing in the Constitution expressly prohibits states from taking away presidential electors' voting discretion. Justice Thomas rejected the majority's Article 2 analysis, however, because he believes the last point really holds the key to the outcome. He said the Constitution does not address expressly or by necessary implication whether states have the power to require the presidential electors vote for the candidates chosen by the people. Article 2, Section 1 and the 12th Amendment provide for the election for the president through a body of electors, but neither speaks directly to a state's power over elector voting. Regardless, all 9 justices did agree that the Constitution does not prohibit states from limiting electors' discretion. Doing the math of all this, out of the more than 23,000 electoral votes cast in our country's history, only 180 have been attempts of being faithless voters, and more than a third of those 180 occurred in 1872. And one of the major party's candidates died after Election Day, before the electors cast their votes. Faithless electors have never affected the outcome of a presidential race. Our founding fathers kind of had their stuff together. They knew, with a lot of foresight, what could happen and took all safety precautions and structural integrity as they could, at the time at least, to make sure that rogue electors could not create a torturous situation. It'd be fun to watch, yeah, but as far as effective voting process, not really. But no doubt, in light of this ruling, I'm sure you can expect the move to eliminate the Electoral College, which has been a rumbling for quite some time, to start to approach the level of earthquake.